All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. Our first guest on the show today is a former Kelly Girl typist. He's also the author of most books in the world. Well, the ones that Tom Woods didn't write, I think James Bovard wrote, including Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, The Fair Trade Fraud, The Farm Fiasco, Shakedown, Terrorism and Tyranny, The Bush Betrayal, and the ultimate, the magnum opus, the belongs in a frame above your fireplace, Attention Deficit Democracy. Don't put it there until after you've read it. Excellent book. God, I love that book. In fact, it's been so many years now, two or three. I want to go back and read that thing again. Welcome back to the show, Jim. How are you doing?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me join your hell-raising.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Did I say your name? Jim Bovard? Yeah, James Bovard. You can find his website. It's jimbovard.com. He also writes for the American Conservative Magazine and, of course, the Future of Freedom Foundation at fff.org. All right, now, so 10 years ago today, Jim, the Congress passed what was called the USA Patriot Act. Sounds pretty good. What do you think? Are we celebrating?
Well, you know, I'm grateful it gives me a reason to drink.
What's the matter? Don't you love America?
Well, you know, this is the Patriot Act was the biggest bait and switch in U.S. constitutional history. Instead of targeting terrorists, Bush and Congress awarded all these powers to federal agents to go after anyone suspected of committing any of the 3,000 federal crimes on the books. This Patriot Act treated every citizen like a suspected terrorist and every federal agent like a proven angel. And we still don't know how the Dern law is operating because, as Senator Wyden and one or two others have pointed out, there is secret guidance now. We have no idea in Hades how far these folks are intruding or who has been targeted. That's one of the biggest problems of the damn law is we don't know who the feds have gone after. We don't know how many dossiers they have of American citizens. And the government's been able to drop this iron curtain around it because of this war on terror panic mentality. And here we are 10 years later, and there's not been enough effective pushback.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it was Milton Friedman that says there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. And it seems to me like when you talk about the Patriot Act and, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, the Transportation Security Administration, all these revolutions, if at some time soon these things are not repealed, if the pushback does not come strong and quick, we're going to just be way past the point of no return, and we'll just always have a Department of Homeland Security. We'll just always have a Patriot Act till America falls.
Well, you know, Scott, I'm just hoping that your guy, Governor Perry, rolls us back when he becomes president.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he has to pretend to be a fascist monster to get elected, but once he's in there, I'm pretty sure he's going to be just great.
Yeah, well, you know, people said the same about Richard Nixon. You know, it's frustrating that the only candidate out there who's really calling for rolling this stuff back is Ron Paul, and he's treated like such a pariah by almost all the mainstream media. And yet, these are fundamental ideas. You know, once you know there's a broad swath of Americans, once they realize what the facts are, they will say, "Well, this is BS." But it's amazing. Here we are 10 years after, and, okay, the media is not quite as cowardly as it was in the first month after 9/11, but still, it's just amazing how much of this stuff goes unchallenged.
Right. Well, even the ACLU from the beginning said, well, I think we should maybe roll back some parts of this instead of just, you know, staking out the claim that, no, this whole thing needs to be undone.
Yeah, well, it's just, and there are principles, political and legal and moral principles upon which this law is based, and that has what has helped drive the vast expansion of government surveillance, because the Patriot Act was like the starting gun, and after that, there was one new law, one new policy, and they've gone vastly further. For instance, the thing that Homeland Security does now for Americans coming back from abroad, Homeland Security claims the right to be able to copy your entire hard drive for your laptop or your cell phone data or whatever, simply based on their need to have all possible information on everybody.
Yep. Well, now, so, but the Patriot Act doesn't say they can do that, right? As you say, that's kind of the starting gun. After that, it's almost like the Patriot Act just says, go ahead, and that's really the text of the thing, right?
Well, you know, there was, it's the, I think the Patriot Act has had, perhaps had more influence as far as in its principles than some of the specific details, because there's a lot of things that the federal government has done after the Patriot Act was passed that was bad or as worse than the Patriot Act itself. But what George Bush and Congress did with the Patriot Act, it showed how far the government can push with almost no resistance. I mean, Ron Paul was one of only three Republicans to vote against the Patriot Act in the House. Senator Feingold was the only senator to oppose it, and he did a very courageous job, and that's part of the reason he's no longer a U.S. senator now.
Yep. Well, and, you know, I saw this poll the other day, which is to be expected, is one of those, you know, shocking but not surprising things. I forgot who wrote this, that they did a survey, and Republican support for the Patriot Act is the same as it always was. Democratic support among the voters, not, you know, in Congress, but among people who vote Democrat, their support for the Patriot Act has gone up substantially since Barack Obama took power.
Oh, my God. That's, you know, I've not seen that poll, you know. I am shocked and saddened. Well, I'm not shocked and saddened, but it's still appalling. I mean, why in God's name would people trust the law more when there's simply another dishonest politician pulling the strings behind the curtain?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Barack Obama just brought his friends in to run the FBI or whatever. It's the same FBI as before.
Well, it's the same FBI as before. It's probably more arrogant now because it knows that even if the Democrats, even a supposed liberal takes over the White House, that the FBI is still going to be sacrosanct. I mean, it's possible that the White House has little or no idea what the FBI is doing. That's how it was often throughout the FBI's history.
And now, Glenn Greenwald pointed out this Economist piece to me where they had like a little chart that showed how the Patriot Act is used in every kind of case.
Yes.
Except terrorism, basically, or, you know, terrorism is thrown in as an afterthought. And of course, most of those are just entrapments anyway, as we know.
Right. Or it's a charge of material support, which meant that someone sent $10 to Hezbollah.
Yeah. Whether they knew it or not.
Right. Right. That's true. I mean, part of what has compounded the ill effect, the evil effect of the Patriot Act is that the government's been able to expand these lists of enemies and these so-called terrorist groups, and it's all very arbitrary, and it all comes out of a black box, and it's almost impossible to challenge it. The ACLU's done a lot of excellent lawsuits over the last 10 years, and they've fought the good fight mostly. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we're almost out of time for this segment, actually. But when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the actual different things in the Patriot Act that make it so objectionable. Because I think that, you know, it started out that people knew that this was really kind of a coup they got away with this thing. But then, because the substance, the individual parts of it aren't explained repeatedly. Like you said, the media is just mostly falling down on the job here. Since we've lived through an era of torture and of unlimited warrantless spying and American citizens being assassinated and tortured and God knows what, the Patriot Act is almost, a moot point. It's almost, not that big of a deal anymore or whatever. We're already past that point where goes without saying we're going to keep it forever, I guess. Most people think so anyway. So I was hoping maybe you can shock the hell out of people like this thing was brand new. What's really in this Patriot Act? And then we can talk again about what you said about Senator Wyden there and how we don't even really know how far it goes. Whole other subject. It's Jim Bovar, jimbovar.com. Attention Deficit Democracy is the book. Please read it. It's so good. It's so good. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm on the phone with Jim Bovard, author of Attention Deficit Democracy, which is so good. Seriously, you got to read that book. It's awesome. Just the torture section alone is worth the whole thing. All right, so we're talking about the Patriot Act. Today is the 10th anniversary of its passage. As Jim said, one senator opposed it and a very small handful of congressmen, of course, including Dr. Paul. But now I want to ask you guys in the audience to just pretend for a minute that you're not accustomed to this terror war. Pretend this is brand new for a minute, that Congress was just now passing this bill, the USA Patriot Act, and think what you would think of that. Tell them, Jim, what's in that thing?
Well, there's a lot more that's been turned out to be in there than what we suspected. The stuff that allowed them to do national security letters, which is basically a warrantless search based on some government FBI agent or somebody else simply typing out a memo and saying, give me the damn information, to a bank or telephone company or some other entity, library. This is something which was not flagged heavily at the time the law was passed, but it's they've been using that up to 40 or 50,000 times per year, 40 or 50,000 warrantless searches, and it does not need to be linked to a terrorist case, and the government doesn't need to show any evidence. It simply needs to snap its fingers, and a person's private data is turned over. Something you'd said before the break is that you hope that, that I could shock people with some of the details on this. Basically, in the first years after the law passed, when stories would come out of abuses or indicating the government was going much further than it had previously indicated, I had thought some of those would have shocked people. But again and again, I've been wrong over the last decade because I had thought, again, that the government had gone too far and that finally there was going to be a backlash time and again. And at this point, I don't know where that backlash is going to happen or if it's going to happen because people have rolled over for so much and the news media have been so utterly craven, if not dishonest, on so many of these key issues. It's hard to see where the tripwire is going to be.
Yeah, well, I hate to break it to you. I saw this thing the other day, assuming this is true, but apparently they surveyed thousands and thousands of people for the sample, and they said that 79.3, I think it was, percent of Americans are for the president killing American citizens overseas if they're up to terrorism, which of course has included it if the president says they're up to terrorism in it. And then it was less than a fifth that said, no, first you have to give an American a trial, then you kill him.
Well, yeah, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago, and actually a fair-minded portrait of the Ron Paul campaign, and it said that one of the difficulties that he's having with conservatives is this Paul's outspoken opposition to this drone killing of the American in Yemen. And I am confounded that folks swallow the notion that government should be allowed to kill anybody that it says is a bad guy. Because that's what this comes down to. Should government be allowed to kill anyone who the politicians say is a bad guy? And yet, I mean, this is such a bullshit notion, and yet, folks are kind of like, folks are just nodding along. And all of history is full of examples of politicians killing innocent people and then afterwards saying, well, but he was a bad guy. Think of Waco, for goodness sake. Think of Ruby Ridge. And yet people just aren't making those connections. And it's I'm especially puzzled that the conservatives, many of whom just have a visceral dislike of Obama, think that Obama should be allowed to kill Americans based on his own secret memos.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean the process of Americans getting accustomed to this thing. It's funny, I guess maybe that's not even really at play. Like maybe they could have put up cameras on every block in every town in America 30 years ago. Maybe they could have outright lied us into war. I mean, in Vietnam, it sort of escalated slowly for 15 years before the Gulf of Tonkin. You know what I mean? But the Iraq war, the blatant, trust me, we got warehouses full of VX gas we're going to show you in just a couple of days kind of thing on the eve of that war. Maybe it's not a matter of people getting conditioned to it. Maybe Americans really are just that bad of sheep. I mean, here's this piece in The Blaze. Ron Paul calls TSA jackbooted thugs in response to highway checkpoints. And they're just absolutely shocked. How could someone call federal, not quite police, sort of pulling people over on the highway for no reason and checking to see if they're Al-Qaeda terrorists? How could someone disdain them? And obviously, here's the quote from the cop saying, well, they're probably not going to be at the airport next time. They'll probably be on the freeway. Hence our fishing for terrorists on the freeway. And in this insanity, he's the crazy one. For saying, how can we do that? How can we let this happen to our society?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, on the Patriot Act, the biggest impact, I think, was on the moral and political and legal principles as far as how they're perceived in this country. And the most important thing is that the Fourth Amendment, which was the most important bulwark against America for Americans' privacy to restrict unreasonable government searches, searches without a warrant, that has been completely thrown aside, and the whole idea that TSA would be running these dragnets in Tennessee, I mean, I always had a pretty good impression of Tennessee, but if people in Tennessee put up with this nonsense, maybe they're,
Is, it's not even up to them. I mean, they can be made to go along with it anyway, but...
Well, it's just, I
think the cameras, you know, I complained about the cameras a second ago, worked that in. I never heard of a vote on cameras ever anywhere in any town, in any jurisdiction, any state, any county in this country. They just, the government, I'm not talking about the camera at the Texaco station, I'm talking about the government cameras on every street corner. They just put them up, and unless 51% or more rally against them and stick to it, they stay up. It's just
This has been the history of the Patriot Act, because there have been specific issues during the summer of 2003 when there had been a lot of controversy over library searches, searches of people's library records and things like that. Mm-hmm. John Ashcroft did a Patriot Act victory tour across the land, and there was so much hostility to it that it was almost always he was simply speaking to closed audiences with a bunch of local police and politicians. I mean, but there was a fervor about it then, which we've lost in the subsequent 8 years. And now it's just like, you know, it's just like one more government law in the books then. But,
yeah, it was the librarian thing, I think, was a good kind of symbol in the media, because everybody knows librarians. How can you bully them? They're not criminals. You know, how can you threaten them, shut down their free speech and intimidate them and whatever? I think that really kind of was symbolic to people, but then they claimed at least to back off the librarian part, right?
Well, yeah, I think that they made some PR adjustments, but part of what is perplexing to me is that this doctrine that Homeland Security announced 3 years ago, that they have the right to search and copy anybody's hard drive is coming into the country, any American's hard drive. That has not been intensely controversial. And yet,
well, hell, they even announced that, like, our guidelines from now on is we don't even need to have suspicion or reason to believe that a crime has been committed or anything. We can now just, the guidelines have been changed, the rules and regulations have been changed. We can now begin an investigation into any American whenever we feel like, in a way used to be banned from doing officially anyway.
Yep, and the interesting thing about the Homeland Security stuff is the official Federal Register notice says that they can do this absent individualized suspicion. And it's not only your hard drive or your cell phone, but it's any paper you have with you. And that strikes me because in the 80s and 90s, well, in the 90s especially, when I was traveling abroad, I was often working on a book manuscript. And if I was doing that now and I had the hard copy, the 200 pages of manuscript with me, the government could take that and copy it when I was coming back in the country and show it to the federal agencies that I was attacking. And so, and yet, you know, I'm just mystified at how much people are putting up with, and I'm just wondering how much spirit of liberty is still left out there.
Hey, did they used to take your papers when you were traveling in the Eastern Bloc when it was still under Soviet occupation?
Yeah, I was. Well, there was experience once I had when I was traveling from communist Czechoslovakia into communist East Germany. I was stopped in the Czech-East German border, and the East German guard searched every inch of my car. They found about 70 pages I had. Of photocopies plus a small book, and I was and was marched away under military escort and interrogated for 3 hours. They seized my passport, and they were just and they eventually seized all my papers, but that was okay because I made copies before I went behind the Iron Curtain. But it was that kind of thing. It was amazing to see how much power they had.
Well, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in 89, the American people, Peter Jennings and everybody, just spoke too soon. They didn't tear down the Berlin Wall. They just moved it. to Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's a good line.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're all out of time. Thanks for yours, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Scott.
That's the heroic James Bovard, everybody. Attention, Deficit, Democracy is the book. Go read it and read them at FFF.org, too.